And I sent it out to folks. Presidential candidate Donald J. Trump has a video, and in it he said that America needs to get back to God. And he said the real need for America is to make America great again, is to get back to the old time religion. And he said, make America pray again. And then he said that he wants to get out a Bible and the Bill of Rights, because people are giving up their constitutional rights. And he said, I want to put out this Bible, the King James Bible. He said, that's the Bible I have in my house. I have many of them. He said, I want the King James Bible out. You heard that, Brother Bob? I let you hear that today. Anybody else hear that video? I tried to get it around. I was so encouraged by that. Right in the first, I read it this Sunday morning from my daughter in Florida. She sent that to me. She knows I love the King James Bible and America. And he said, that's what we're missing. We've thrown God out. We've thrown the Bible out. And therefore, we're having all this trouble in America, where the devils have moved in. And I just was so taken aback when Joe Biden said that we're declaring Easter Sunday an LGBTQ Sunday. I mean, this platform of this party, people wonder why I call it the Demon Rat Party. If you wonder, just listen to Brother Bob's message on it. That was an excellent message. How many heard that message Brother Bob preached? You ought to all get on that and click on that. And that really explains why I call it the Demon Rat Party, and how to make America great again. But that's not what I'm preaching on tonight. However, if we do what it says here, I believe we will do our part to get America back to God. And I want to say this evening that Jesus had a number of his disciples who became the leaders, the apostles of the movement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what was their job? Does anybody know what a lot of the disciples, the apostles, had for their full-time job? Can one of the men raise their hand and tell me, what was it, Kevin?
To go out and give the gospel to
all. Yeah, but their job before they became men of God. Yes. What did he say? That's correct, Alex. Fishermen. And I had the privilege to eat fish out of the Sea of Galilee. I went to restaurants around the Sea of Galilee, stayed in places, and they had the fish with the eyes still in them, or the ones with the ones out. I chose the latter. But anyway, I did have fish, and these men were fishermen. And God chose these men, along with the others, to plant churches all over Israel, and then they went all over the Middle East, and then they went all over the earth to plant churches. And so tonight, I want you to go to the chapter where the Lord got it all going, and it's in Luke chapter 5. And I want to say tonight that the Lord used their own fishing business. These men, James and John with their father Zebedee, had a fishing business. Peter and Andrew had a fishing business. And he used their fishing business to get a hold of them about the main business that he was calling them to. Because he called them to leave their jobs, to leave their businesses, and to be full-time preachers. And so I believe, I'm going to loosen my collar, I believe that he wanted them to get a hold of the main business of the church. They were leaders of a fishing business. They had their own business, but now God was calling them. For instance, Peter, he got onto Peter's fishing boat, and he used Peter's fishing boat. And Peter's fishing boat is an illustration of what the local church is to be doing. And Peter was going to be the head pastor after the apostle James was martyred of the Jerusalem church, and just before the half-brother of the Lord took over when Peter went on his missionary journeys, but he was the head pastor of the Jerusalem church. So Jesus wanted Peter to know if he was going to be a pastor, He's got to know the main business of the church. I was downstairs today after the service talking to the Bajeskis, and I talked to Ben Bajeski, and he said somebody had said to him, what is the main ministry in the church? And they said, it's the music ministry. And Ben said, what about soul winning? And you know what? He was right. And Peter is being taught here by Jesus in a way that he can understand it, because he dealt with his fishing business. He went right into his fishing business, and he was telling him, he was giving him a picture of the main ministry of a local church, just like a fishing boat. And what is it? It's to catch fish. In this case, to catch men. And Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And there are two kinds of fishermen. And one fisherman is a sports fisherman. And the other fisherman is a professional fisherman. We'll talk about that. But I want to say that that is indeed the main mission of the church. And Brother Bob Bajeski came by as I was talking about that. And he said, yeah, we're not called to mash potatoes to all every creature. How many have heard that I've talked about the mashed potatoes before? Well, Dr. Jack Hiles was the pastor of the Great First Baptist Church, a great fishing for men church. And he got to be the pastor of that church, and he preached, and he would say, if you're not winning people to Christ, you're not right with God. If you're not out there soul winning, you're not right with God. And he came by a lady that was in the church, and she was a chubby lady that worked in the kitchen, and she took her finger and wagged it at the young preacher as he went by, and she had mashed potatoes dripping from her finger, and she said, how dare you, pastor, say that I'm not right with God? She said, I've had the ministry of serving dinner for the church for 25 years. I've been faithful, and you're saying somebody's not soul winning is not right with God. And she shook her finger at him, and he said, well, ma'am, he said, God didn't say in the Bible, go and mash potatoes unto every creature. And you know what? He's right about that. Every believer is supposed to be a soul winner. And so tonight, I want you to look at Luke chapter 5. And I want to say three things about the message called Let Down Your Nets. Let down your nets. And number one, I want to say, because of the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to let down your nets. And I want you to notice in verse 1, chapter 5, it says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that's the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, that's Simon Peter, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You see, so he chose Simon Peter because he knew Peter was going to be a great soul winner. He knew Peter was going to learn from this show and tell that he was going to give Peter how to win men and catch men for Christ. You know, Peter caught 3,000 men in one day on the day of Pentecost that were added to the church. Peter then went from there, and Peter had part, you see, in opening up the gospel to the Samaritans in Samaria. And he went there after Philip went there. And then he went to the Gentiles and opened up the gospel that they could be part of the church up there in Caesarea at the home of Cornelius. And Peter was available for God to work through him. By the way, can I say something to you? God can work through you. He can give you opportunities. And you just need to be available. You need to be available. Faithful, available. Amen? And you need to be available. I was thinking the other day that Jose Tatis, I spent a week with him. Then I invited him to come out Thursday night soul winning. He went out with Jesse and Marie. That night, he was shot to death right here at the Sunoco Station Mini Mart. He was killed, shot, and then went to the hospital and died. And you know what? I went down to Hazleton just to pay respect. And they had a Catholic priest there, but he's so busy with so many people, he can't keep up with all the people. So I don't even think he showed up there. All these people were there. And the funeral director said, Pastor, would you speak at the funeral here? Would you speak at the viewing? And I said, I will. And I took the pulpit. Jesse was there. Marie was there. And I just started preaching, didn't I, Jesse? And I gave the gospel, and about 30 people raised their hand for salvation.
Amen.
You see, there's opportunity.
Right.
And God wants us to know that we need to throw out that gospel net and catch people in the gospel net, you see. Jesus said that the gospel net is like a fishing net, and it will catch people. And you say, well, what do I need to catch people? You need the gospel net. You need to know the gospel. You need to throw it out there. You need to invite people to Christ. And Peter was being taught that. And so let down your nets for a draught. And here's what it is. Let down your nets. Look at verse 4. And Simon, I'm sorry, look at verse 4. Yeah, it says, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. You know, Jesus had the gathering. He had the service. Soon as the service is over, he said, now we got to catch some fish, Peter. We got to catch some fish. And so he told Peter, let down your nets for a draught. This is the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. What am I saying to you? He said, let down your net for a draught. What is a draught? It's a bunch of fish. It's a haul of fish. Now, Jesus said, you'll be fishers of men. He wasn't speaking of a sports fisherman. He was speaking of a fisherman, and Patty knows this, like Mr. Dilcher in Florida. How many have heard me talk about Mr. Dilcher in Florida? A lot of you have. And Mr. Dilcher, he was not a sports fisherman that just went out and had some fun fishing. No, he went out every day in Florida with his fishing boat, and he had a fishing business. And he had to catch fish and give them to grocery stores. He had to catch fish and give them to restaurants. And he got money for that. And Mr. Dilcher had these waxed hands and these leather hands from the Florida sun, and he had the big hands, and he was a big man, and he was a professional fisherman. Now, if Mr. Dilcher didn't catch fish, he was a failure. Let me say that again. If Mr. Dilcher didn't catch fish, he was a failure. And the more fish he caught, the more success he had. I am telling you tonight that the Lord Jesus said, if you let down your nets, plural, you'll get a lot of fish.
Right.
And you need to get a lot of fish. If you're going to be a preacher and you don't lead your church to catch fish, there's something wrong with you. I learned a long time ago, I do not want to be a religious lectureship pastor. I want to be a soul-winning generalship pastor. I want to have a church organized that sends out fishing boats, and those fishing boats catch fish. Now, sometimes they're red boats, sometimes they're requisition boats, sometimes they're yellow boats, sometimes they're cars and everything. But we are, after we eat, we don't need to meet and then retreat. We need to go out and let down our gospel nets. And the Lord says you'll have a draught. That means a lot of fish. A lot of people will get caught in that gospel net sooner or later. And the Lord emphasized that. And I believe tonight that there are many churches that never catch fish, and they never catch a lot of fish, because they have left the main business of the church.
Right.
They've left the main business. What is it? Soul winning. Throwing out the gospel net and drawing it in. How many times this past week did you throw out the gospel net and draw it in? You say, well, I threw it out and I didn't catch anything. Well, Peter said that to Jesus. We tried that, Lord. We didn't catch anything. And what did Jesus say? Do it again. He said, do it again. Keep doing it.
Right.
Listen, do it not because you caught a lot. Do it because you're commanded to do it. God says, Jesus says, launch out into the deep. That means get out away from the church. Get out away from Christians during the week and get among the unsaved so you can win them to Christ by throwing out the gospel net. And that's what we need to be doing, beloved. And that is the command of Christ. That's the first thing. Let down your nets because of the command of Christ. And many churches have not done that. People say, well, I've tried it and I didn't get anything. Well, you're still disobedient to the command of Christ. And by the way, I believe if you keep on going and you keep on launching, sooner or later you will see fruit. It may be later. It may be years. But you will do it. I think of Luke chapter 14. Jesus compared it to a supper and inviting people to a supper when you're inviting people to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sooner or later it will happen. And he said, if these people don't hear, you go to those people. If they don't hear, you go to those people. You just keep going. He said what? That my house may be what? My house may be filled. Hey, you know what? The house was filled today. Amen. It was filled. It was filled today, upstairs and downstairs. And whether it's filled or not, we're going to keep on doing it because it is the command of Christ. If the church goes and fills the house, we're going to do it. If it goes down to nothing, we're going to do it because it's the command of Christ. But I am just simply saying to you, I wouldn't want what Kyle said the other night. We were out Wednesday night, Kyle and I, and we were doing some checking out Jose Tatis's fiance's house there as it needs some repairs and so forth and so on. And when we were coming out of the house, apparently the absent-minded pastor had backed up a little too far and blocked the guy's driveway, and the guy was all upset. He's yelling and screaming. And so I'm like, my thing was just, I just preached on soul winning. Just preached on it that night. But my thing was just like, say you're sorry. I was ready to say, oh, I'm so sorry. Just get out of there. Maybe hand him a track, but get out of there because I messed up and I blocked the guy's part, blocked his driveway. And he was upset, rightfully so. I understood it. And I was just going to say, I'm sorry. But no, Kyle's like, sir, we want to talk to you. And the guy thought we wanted to fight him. And he's like, oh, man. He was scared, you know, he was scared two guys going to fight him. But no, Kyle's coming up, he's trying to talk to him. He said, sir, and he wanted to shake his hand. Then the guy shook his hand, you know. And Kyle's talking to him, and he said, can we ask you two spiritual questions? Meanwhile, my car's still there in the drive. I'm thinking, get out of here. He said, may we ask you two spiritual questions? He asked him the two spiritual questions, and the guy didn't know how to get saved. Then he goes, all right, my pastor's going to take over from here. So I'm like, I blocked the driveway, you know, this is, but anyway, I gave him the gospel, and the guy's heart just softened right up. And, you know, he said, I feel so sorry for that lady. I feel so sorry for what happened. I see you guys are helping her. And he just was so sorry. And he had a heart. He really had a heart. You know, he was concerned about this lady, and I gave him the gospel, and I said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior right now? And he said, well, I not right now, he says. Not right now. I said, well, can I pray for you? He said, yes, you can pray for me. And I prayed that God would soften his heart further. And I prayed for him. And then I said, now, I just broke. I said, now, while our heads are bowed, would you repeat after me if you want to receive the Lord? And I said, dear Lord Jesus. He goes, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm a sinner. And he prayed to receive Christ. His name is Mark. He lives right up here in Putnam. You pray for him. He's about 60, 64 years old, you know, 66, something like that. But you pray for him. He and his wife live up there. But it's the command of the Lord. And we need to be obedient to the command of the Lord and let down your nets for a draw. And you know what I found out a lot? Carl Hatch told me this years ago. He said, you need to be always soul conscious. You need to be always soul conscious. Everybody has a soul. What will it profit if they lose their soul? Who knows if we'd ever get another opportunity to like that to a guy? And you know what? I just preached on it, and Kyle responded to my message. He was soul conscious. I had just preached on it, and I was conscious that I blocked the guy's driveway, you know, at that point in time. But you know what? We can provoke one another to love and good works. I'm saying to you tonight that Jesus wants our church to be like a fishing business, like Peter and his brother had, like James and John had. And Jesus was saying, that's what it is. You're to treat men like you treated fish. You need to catch them in the gospel net. And we all have the gospel net, especially if you've been trained to throw it out there. You can do it, and you are commanded to do it, and so you do it. And the Lord said, sooner or later, we're going to get people saved, and we're going to see a harvest, and God has blessed our church. He's blessed us in the past with a harvest. I think of Brother Bob Majeski after I left the pulpit and was going out the back door. He said, do you think this is another wave of growth? Is this it? And I said, absolutely, this is it. This is the third great wave of growth. I said, we had one since we got the King James Bible from 1986 to 1996. I said, since we got the King James Bible, we had another one from 2000 to 2012. I said, right now, yes, go through it. It is the third great wave of growth in 2024. We are in it right now. I mean, with all those people that came out today, what was it, 227 people that came out. 15 people came forward at the invitation for salvation. 7 people got baptized, and 6 people added to the church this morning. How many were here to see that? Oh, man, I'm glad you were here to see God work. I don't want to miss out on what God's doing. Like Pastor Ware said, and Brother Z, the youth pastor, said this evening to me, he said, when God's working, I want to be right on the front row. I want to be on the front row to see what he's doing. But you're not going to see it if you don't obey Christ's command to the church to launch out, you know, launch out. 3 to Thrive, be here Sunday morning. Be here Sunday evening. Be here Wednesday night. But also 4 or more to win the war. Be here for soul winning. You say, well, why should I be here for soul winning? Because you're not just going soul winning. You're doing soul winning training. You're training new people that can throw out more nets. And the more nets, the better off it is. And so 4 or more to win the war. Be here on Thursday, or be here on Saturday, or be here on both. It won't hurt you. Amen and amen. Right, Jesse? You could do both. Praise God for that. And let down your nets for a draught because of the command of Christ. And you know what? When you do that, I found out that Brother Bob said, hey, you had all these people coming, and everybody seems to be working together. Nobody seems to be chipping at one another. Everybody's working together. I said, Brother Bob, that's because we're all out there doing the Lord's work. We're all out there trying to obey the main thing and get people saved. Amen? We all have our little differences, but when you're out there trying to get people saved, you don't have time to get into petty quarrels and petty argument. And if you're into that, God help you. Amen? We got too many people criticizing, and too few people and few churches gospelizing. I'm saying let down your nets for a draught and look for a great haul of it. Look for more people to get saved. The more the merrier. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, I'm all things to all men that I might win the more to Christ. Seek to win the more to Christ. How do you do it? Well, for one thing, you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. You give the net throwing bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Let down your nets because of the command of Christ. Number 2, let down your nets because of the correction of Christ. Look with me again at verse 4 of Luke 5. And notice what it says. Now when he had left speaking, the Lord, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drop. You see the plural there? He had more than one net. He could have thrown out a lot of nets. But look what Peter did. He disobeyed. He didn't totally disobey. He did something, amen, but he disobeyed. And I'm talking to some of you tonight. You're obeying, but you're not going all out. You could do more. You could do more. And here's what it said that about Peter. He said, and Simon answering said unto him, look at this excuse. Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Hey, so what, Peter? You've toiled all night and taken nothing. The Lord said, you launch out. He said, and Peter got it. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down. Now watch this. What did he say? I will let down what?
The net.
The net. One net. What did the Lord say? Let down your
nets.
It's in every word Bible. He just said, I'll let down the net. And I believe some believers are like that. I'll just go out and do the bare minimum. I'll just go out and do a little. If you do a little, you'll get a little. Sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Give a little money, you'll get a little back. But if you give a lot, sacrificial, pressed down, shaken together, running over. As you give, so it'll be given to you. And so tonight, the challenge is, maybe you're doing it a little to salve your conscience, but the Lord said to Peter, let down your nets. This is what we want. We want you to fish for men like you're all out for this thing. And so he corrected Peter, and I believe some of us tonight need to be corrected when it comes to that matter of letting down your nets for a drop. You say, well, how can I do that? Be always soul conscious. When we were at the conference, remember Carl Hatch? And he was in some restaurant in, Louisiana? I don't remember where it was. Miami? I don't remember. But he's sitting there with his wife, and Carl Hatch, Brother Hiles said, was an old Southern guy, was the greatest personal soul winner of his day, Carl Hatch. And he looked at his wife, and he said to her, his wife said, Carl, that's Tom Selleck. That's Magnum P.I. over there. And Carl goes, Magnum P.I. And I'm going to talk to him. And she said, oh, no, Carl, please don't do it. And he goes over to his table, and he goes right up to Tom Selleck, and he basically tells him, Tom, are you Magnum? He goes, are you Magnum? And Tom Selleck goes, well, I'm Tom Selleck. I play Magnum P.I. And Carl said, is that a Rolex on your hand there? He said, yes, it is. He said, how much is that worth? He said, $25,000. And he said, you're going to split hell wide open. You're going straight to hell. And Tom Selleck got under conviction. And Carl did lead him to the Lord, right? I believe. Eventually led him to the Lord. I can't do it like Tony Hudson. I mean, forget it. I ain't even going to try. But he led him to the Lord. And later on, he got a package in the mail. And his wife said, hey, he's a package from Tom Selleck. And he said, it is. He said, in the package was the Rolex watch for $25,000 that Tom Selleck sent him. I'm just saying, be soul conscious. Always be. Now, most people would be Tom Selleck conscious. Oh, that's Tom Selleck. Tom Selleck's got an eternal soul.
Right.
He's going to go to heaven or hell. Why are you a respecter of persons?
Right.
Why not be more like Carl Hatch, who is soul conscious and led Tom Selleck? The righteous are as bold as lions.
Right.
And because he's just walking with God. And I believe that's what God wants. And I believe that there's a correction that some of us need to make in our lives. And we need to be soul conscious tonight and get our hearts right with God so that we can do the right thing and go out there and win people to Christ. And you will see great things happening for God. Let down your nets for a draught because of the command of Christ. Launch out in the deep. Because of the correction of Christ. He said, let down your nets. And he just had a net. You know, Dr. Jack Hiles, in his great church, he had all these different ministries in his church. I'll just give you one. He had a ministry where some people went up to the Naval Yard on Lake Michigan. His church was in Hammond, and it was south of Lake Michigan. And he had people go up there every week, and they would meet with the sailors. And these sailors were in this naval base, and they were far away from home. They never had home cooking. They didn't have a church and all this. And they got a vehicle to go up there and bring in all these sailors every Saturday. Get this. They would have basketball for them. They would have ladies served a meal for them. They would, I think, put them up for a place to sleep overnight, serve them breakfast, bring them to church Sunday, and then back to the naval base later on. And guess what the main goal of that ministry was? Winning souls. The Great Commission. Get them saved, baptized, added to a church. That was the main goal. He had thousands of ministries. Every one of them, the main goal was the Great Commission. I challenge some of you. We have Thursday night soul winning, and we need to get trained soul winners. We got trained soul winners. You can have all kinds of other ministries that you can launch. You can launch one. I'll approve it if it goes along with what we need and the Great Commission. I'm just saying, we need to let down our nets, plural. I saw it at First Baptist Church. I saw a Sunday school with 25,000 people. With my own eyes, Brother Joe, you saw what was there. And that's how they did it. It was by having all these nets thrown out with the same basic purpose, to win folks to Christ, get them saved and baptized, added to the church, and then train them to win others to Jesus Christ. I'm saying let down your nets because of the command of Christ. Number two, because of the correction of Christ. And lastly, because of the catching of Christ. Look with me at verse 6 and 7 of Luke 5. I'll read it. It says, "And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes." I like that. I like that. Listen, a great multitude of fishes. You see that in the book of Acts, multitudes of people. You see that in Christ's ministry, multitudes following him. Listen, people say, "Oh, I don't care about numbers." Well, I do. The book of Numbers is in the Bible. The book of Acts, it talks about 3,000 being saved, 5,000 being saved, and it gives the numbers. Why? Because it shows that we're doing what Christ said, and we're letting down our nets for a draught. And churches that are doing it, they can expect God's blessing. And we don't have to lower the Bible to their level. We don't have to change the gospel to get people saved, beloved. It still works. Let down your nets for a draught. The problem is, young preachers, dummies, are not working it. It works. But we don't work. We don't work the old-time faith. And if we did, we'd get the old-time results that they got because of catching men for Christ. Now, when you do that and you obey the Lord and you are corrected and do it all out by being soul conscious, guess what? You're going to have an abundance. It said there were multitudes of these fish that were in there, so much that the net break. I mean, it was so. I'm saying if we obey the Lord, we're going to catch men, and it will cause an abundance, and we'll need partners to help us because it says here in verse 6 and 7, they beckoned, look at verse 7, unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. You know what? When you have an abundance, you look for more vehicles like he was doing. And that's what it's organized pandemonium. And more happens. And you need partners. Brother Bob told me, he said, we held the line, he said, for 45 minutes beyond the end of Children's Church you were baptizing upstairs, and we kept going down there in Children's Church. And he said it was all right. It happened. You know what? That's partnering. We all need to do our part, because when God blesses, there is an abundance, such an abundance that we need all hands on deck, amen, to help us out. And I got to thinking about the baptisms, and we had people waiting to be baptized. They couldn't be baptized because we didn't have more baptistry rooms. I thought, we need some more places to change. We need some more robes. We need some more workers. We need more. And that's what happens. You need more partners. You need more workers. We need more workers in the bus ministry.
Right.
And you know, we need more men. We need more money in the bus ministry. We have enough money right now to fund about one bus every week. Thank God for that. We didn't have that. You know how we were able to keep going? People gave special gifts to the bus ministry. And now we have enough to fund one bus fully, and maybe a little more just from our regular offerings and our faith promise offerings. We have that. And one bus and a little more. But because they raised the price from $125 to $260 a bus, that really challenges us. But you know what? God can provide money. Even harder than money is men. People that were willing to be bus captains. People that are willing to go out there and let down their nets. Go all out. Not just a little bit to sell their conscience, but to go all out. And then God says, eventually, sooner or later, I will give you an abundance. You just keep going. And so, obeying Christ's command and being corrected by Him, you'll have an abundance. Secondly, catching so many fish causes astonishment. Look at verse 8 through 10. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished. And all that were with him, they were all astonished at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Now, we were working, but how many were kind of astonished at what's going on? Yeah, amen and amen. I expected it. But I was astonished too. And we get astonished when the Lord goes to work. And so much so, when God's at work, we get fearful. Simon Peter was fearful. He said, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm not up to the blessing that you want to do for me. You just blessed me with all these fish. But you know what? God took those fishermen and he made them apostles. God took those fishermen and he made them mighty preachers. God took a mailman named Curtis Hudson and he made him a mighty soul winner and a mighty leader for God. I'm just saying to you, God can take the poor and the needy and he can make you great for God. You just need to realize, I am going to be obedient to launch out. I am going to be corrected to go all out, and God will give you an abundance over time. God will cause you, when you have that abundance, to realize there'll be an astonishment. And when you're astonished, don't have this mock humility that says, man, I can't do this. Maybe others can, but I can't. It's no secret what God can do. What he's done for Jack Hiles, he'll do
That's
for
right.
you. Lee Robertson, we get all you know, all these great men of God. Listen, they just tapped into what the Bible says. The Acts of the Apostles. You know what that is? It's simply the acts of the Holy Spirit through common men who were abandoned to him. That's what we need. And God will cause you to have an astonishment for what he can do in and through you. If you yield yourself to him to be somebody that will let down your nets, launch out and let down your nets at the command of Christ. Let Christ correct you so that you do it not just a little bit, but all the way. And you will catch men in a way that will cause abundance, will cause astonishment, and what a blessing it will be. Now, I want to say this to you, Jesus said, you're going to catch men and you're going to do great things for God. When you catch men, it should cause the final thing under catching men. And look at verse 11. I'll read it. You follow in your copy. It says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they what? Forsook all and followed him. You see this astonishment, this abundance, this blessing of the Lord. This made them realize our business of fishing was our whole life. He now wanted them to know this is what the local church is supposed to be. It's supposed to be like a fishing business, Brother Joe, and it's going to bring in a haul of fish. And Brother Joe was baptizing. He had to baptize 7 people. In other words, this catching men, catching people, it should lead to an abandonment in your life. Where you abandon yourself to it. Where you give yourself wholly to it. Not just astonishment. Not just abundance. But an abandonment where they forsook all to follow Jesus. I think of D.L. Moody. He was a shoe salesman. Amen. He got saved. And then he became a Sunday school superintendent. He started seeing people get saved and build a Sunday school. Listen to me. One of his teachers was dying. We've had a lot of death in this church and around this church. One of his teachers was dying. And he said to Moody, I want to win my students to Christ before I die. He said to Moody, will you go with me? Moody said, yeah, I'll go with you. And that teacher went to one student after the other, told him he was dying, told them how to be saved, invited them to trust Christ. They trusted Christ as their Savior. They got saved, got baptized, and Moody was so overwhelmed with it. He'd never really done anything like that. He didn't really experience that kind of thing. And he said, man, this is so good. I'm going to give up my job as a shoe salesman. And I'm a Sunday school superintendent, but I'm going into full-time evangelism. And that's how the great D.L. Moody got his start in evangelism. I think of our youth pastor. He told me today, before Sunday school, he said, preacher, we got 26 from Wilkes-Barre. And he said, you know, we couldn't have enough in the van. And a guy donated his van as one of the people that's coming. And he told me later, he said, after church, he called me this afternoon. He said, and now, you know, I announced Power Hour, and what a great team group we had. Now these people want to come to Power Hour on Wednesday. They're like, how are we going to get a ride? You know, when God blesses, it causes abundance. It causes astonishment. And it creates a need for abandonment because there's only so much we can do. But we just throw ourselves on God and we want to do more. You know, I believe some people are not really happy because they're too caught up in themselves. So many American neurotic, unhappy Christians are so caught up in themselves, and they're not abandoned to the great fishing for men work that Jesus was trying to teach Peter about. Peter got it. They got it. James and John got it. They left the business. That was it. They were done with it until Peter backslid that time, remember, after Jesus died. But they abandoned it, and they got it. And I believe God wants us to get it. He wants us to do it because of the command of Christ. He wants us to do it to get corrected, to do it all out. And He wants us to do it to catch men for Christ so that we might be abandoned. I appreciated Brother Z going down to Wilkes-Barre, and he asked Brother Gary, or Brother Gary, I guess, volunteered too. He said, you're driving the bus, you know. I'll drive the bus. I'll drive the van and pick people up. And Brother Gary's been doing that. And I don't know about you, but I see something back in that smile of Brother Gary there. I see Brother Gary. He looks like he did it at his highest. That's how he's looking to me. I'm just looking as a pastor. But I'm just saying, it's no secret what gives you joy. It's no secret what gives. It's not just you know, going through the old rituals and the routines and the, it's getting abandoned to fishing for men. And you know what? That is not just taught. That is caught. If you're doing it, others around you will catch it. And I believe that it is caught. You get on fire and others will burn. Amen? I'm challenging you tonight. Get on fire.
Amen.
You put yourself at God's altar to be abandoned to Him and obey the command of Christ. Start launching out and catching men. Do it and get corrected tonight where you need to get corrected. Wash your nets. Wash your nets. And then you will catch people. And what a blessing that will be. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Every head bowed and eye closed. We've been talking about let down your nets tonight.